It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO, how's everybody doing out there? We are back for another week of WFO Radio, and I am super excited because we are just getting closer and closer to the big test out west in Arizona, followed up by the Lucas Oil Winter Nationals in Pomona, California. Super excited. We're going to be talking about it and all the big breaking news that has happened and is happening and will happen over the next couple of weeks. The voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart, scheduled to join us. It is going to be great. Your thoughts, your comments, whatever you got to say out there. We're going to be talking about it on the show. So much news, so many things to discuss, like the return of Austin Prock. But before we go too far, I want to tell you about tomorrow, what's going on tomorrow on the show. Special day, special time. Special day, special time. And we're letting it grow and we're letting it all happen. But listen, here's the deal. Big Daddy Don Garlitz, WFO Live tomorrow, talking about the International Drag Racing Hall of Fame inductees for 2022, Scotty Cannon and others. You're going to want to listen to the show. You're going to want to watch the show. So subscribe, be ready, click the bell. Those of you watching on YouTube, you know, it's all about YouTube this in this era. We are talking about Large Father, the Big Daddy, Don Garlitz, the GOAT, greatest of all time, as far as so many people believe, myself included. Garlitz is going to be on WFO. So stay tuned for that. That will be at a special time tomorrow. 11 a.m. 11 a.m. is the time. And I'm very excited about that. I want to tell you about the people who make it possible. I know a lot of people want to know about Jogo's bracket racing and how it all turned out and how much fun I had. And I will. I will go into all of that. It was exciting. It was fun. Our Ignition podcast was tremendous. Tom Brady has retired, guys. That was debating. Is he not? Is he not? He is. He's retiring. That's it. It's over. What do I think about it? Yeah, I guess. Right? Like there's two schools of thought, right? Like the guy's at the top of his game still, but will he be always? Can he be doing some other stuff? Talked about that on Ignition, a whole lot of fun. But the only reason I'm even able to do shows like this is because of great marketing partners, our sponsors, like Total Seal Piston Rings, Matt Hartford, Keith Jones, Lake Speed, the whole team over there, very supportive of WFO Radio and what we're doing, so much so that we create a podcast for them called Hidden Horsepower, all about unlocking the horsepower that is inside your engine by using Total Seal Piston Rings. It has been amazing to connect with engine builders and even scientists, like the most recent episode with Dr. Neil Cantor, who is a world-renowned tribologist, talking about metalworking fluids and why they're so important and the ways to maintain them and the ways that the surfaces at the microscopic level are changed in positive and negative ways. It's a really great episode. Check it out. Hidden Horsepower on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, right there at the TotalSeal.com website. You can order your rings from there. You can order one ring from there. A lot of information at TotalSeal.com. Then there's Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. I got a great card the other day from Frank and Lana Hawley. It was just, it touched my heart. Like, oh my gosh, these guys are so awesome. They've got the Dragster Adventure program still going for all of 2022, and they drive around the country with it. The program goes around the country. They go to where you are, and you just show up and drive a dragster and maybe even race dragsters in their Dragster Adventure Challenge. It's just so awesome. Think Joe versus Pro, but a whole lot faster and in rear-engine dragsters with big block Chevrolets. Awesome stuff. Or maybe you want to get your top alcohol funny car license. I had a friend of mine telling me, you know, Joe, I think you should get your top alcohol funny car license at Frank Hawley's because that would really be good for your understanding of the sport. And I'm like, yeah, I guess it would. It would be a lot of fun, too. Kind of a jump from a 12-second Pontiac GTO to a alcohol funny car. But that's the kind of thing that they offer. Go to frankhawley.com and check out their programs. Very cool. Very much appreciate Frank and Lana doing such a great job. And we'll be in Gainesville not long from now. Believe it or not, it's starting off quick. Marvin Rodak, rodakscoffeeandgrills.com. This is one that by now you should be so into hearing about Rodax that you're calling and ordering 817-924-6821. The coffee is gourmet from around the world. Some of the coffee farms only send one or two bags of coffee, sacks of coffee, into the United States. and Marvin gets first or second right of refusal. Think about that. He's way up the chain for this amazing coffee that I enjoy every single day. And you know, every once in a while, I'll get a bag of regular stuff from the grocery store just to compare. And I did that this morning. I had a bag of the stuff from, you know, that was left over, and I had some Rodax back to back, and it was just such a different experience. It's really amazing. Fresh ground coffee versus garbage. I mean, whatever they put in those vacuum packed bags. Call Marvin, 817-924-6821, if nothing, because I'm telling you to. And then there's samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Brian Massengill, they've got a school. They're educating the next generation. Think about how important that is in a world where they're going to be rebuilding all kinds of infrastructure, where factories are moving back to the United States, General Motors, new battery factories, all these factories. There's going to be CNC machines in these factories, no matter what they're making. There's going to be machines. There's going to be need for qualified people to turn wrenches and work on things and machine parts and machine parts for machines. Like, that is all happening. That wave has begun. In the good old US of A, might as well get in on it. Even if you don't want to become a crew member on a race team or become an engine builder in a high-end engine shop, but this is an education that can get you started in many great ways. Go to samtech.edu, reach out to Brian Massengill, tell him you heard about it on WFO. That's something I'm pushing. Because he and I were talking about it at PRI, like people tell him, oh yeah, man, I saw a commercial for Samtech on Monday Night Football, and I decided to call you. And he's like, yeah, we don't advertise on Monday Night Football, but thank you very much. So say WFO if you're going to give him a call and kick a little tire with Brian Massengill. Later on in the show, I'll tell you how you can get some free WFO radio stickers. The hint is on the screen. It is an address. You just send a self-addressed stamp envelope to that. And our Patreons, oh my gosh, we have had such an influx of patrons for the show. These are people who pay a monthly fee that they choose to get behind the scenes content and support WFO radio in our endeavor to take over the universe. And it has been amazing to see how many racers and just people who are getting on board. They get Monday motivation. They participate with the Ignition show. They get a little swag, but that's it. I like to undersell the whole Patreon experience. And there you have it. The people who support WFO, and now it is time to go out to Tucson, Arizona, to a man who I know is super excited about getting ready to go racing real soon, Mr. Alan Reinhardt. There he is. Dun, dun, dun. What are you, asleep? Wake up.
That was my super excited look. No, I'm thinking about freshening up my Mustang engine, and so I'm going over my inventory of Total Seal rings. I don't think that's the right one. And I'm pretty sure that's not the right one.
Although that'd be cool.
So I'm kind of leaning towards that one might be a little thin for a street application, but
they say no. Hold that up to the camera, the edge. Let's see how narrow it is. Yeah. Wow. What is that, a 0.5?
I got no way there.
Okay. So, and you know, since we're talking Total Seal, right? That's the genius of Total Seal. They're just thinner and they create less friction. And every engine builder's got their own slightly different recipe for the most part. But back in the day, Alan, what was the standard ring size? Like thick. There goes Reinhardt. He's all over the place.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had a caliper laying right there. No, I didn't.
Look at this. Guy's got motorcycles.
It used to be 16th, 16th, 3/16th. You know, the top two compression rings would be 16th and then 3/16th for the other one. But this particular one checks in at 18 thou.
18 thou. There it is. Yeah, that's narrow. That's a thin ring. Yeah. I would imagine that would, you know, the layman in me says that that would conform to the cylinder wall better and also create a lot less friction.
It definitely would. It definitely would. I'm not 100% sure, and that's the thing, is I'm not sure. I would have to talk to Matt or Lake or one of the guys whether this would be the right thing to do in a street engine. You know, obviously in an all-out performance engine where you're not really worried about if the thing, you know, it doesn't have to run 25, 30,000 or 50,000 miles. So I don't know, but maybe I'll have to call one of those guys before I pull the motor out.
I like it. So really, you're going to pull the engine out of the Mustang? You're going to refresh this deal?
I'm thinking about it. It's got an oil pressure thing that needs to be identified. It's not like critical, but it's one of those, you know, And if the car is going to go to the body shop anyway to get all the tire damage repaired, then I'm thinking I may pull the motor out of it, send it over to the body shop, and then I can do have both those things done so the car's only down one period of time instead of two periods of time, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. It does make sense. All right. So we've had a big week since last we met. Alan Pruszynski joined us the last time we were on, and you were out at the NASCAR test at
Phoenix. Whoa. That's your, we had a big week.
Well,
you had a birthday.
I did.
What in this week was possibly bigger than your birthday?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff.
Exactly. You don't start with the big news. Don't we always start with the big news? It's like you go, hey, look, there's a race coming up. Hey, look, Alan went NASCAR. And hey, look, Joe went to the racetrack. Hey, Tom Brady retired. All of that pales in comparison to Joe Costello celebrating another trip around the sun.
That's true, Alan. Thank you very much for building it up really big, and I appreciate that. You know, I have a birthday that happens before the season starts. It was on Sunday was my birthday, and I enjoyed it. I'm happy, you know, 38, closing in on that big 4-0, Alan. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, 40's not that big a deal. It seems like it when you're coming up on it, but when it's like way back there somewhere, it wasn't that big a deal.
Well, we'll see. We'll see when I get there and I turn the big 4-0.
Yeah, see, and it's fortunate and unfortunate that yours happens during the off season.
Yeah.
Because A, you know, all your racing buddies don't get to buy you a drink at, you know, your favorite watering hole.
That's true.
But on the other side of the coin, you don't get embarrassed by all your racing buddies because you're out there either.
Also
and,
true.
You know, over the years, I've had a little bit on both sides. So I can, I think I know of which I speak here.
Well, and rightfully so. And everybody is out there wishing me happy birthday. Thank you, everybody. Honestly, it's in the rearview mirror now, though, because it was Sunday. But thank you to the WFO universe for the birthday wishes. I appreciate it. Sometimes I get depressed around my birthday, but this year I did not. This year I felt great because maybe I went racing and I was having a good time, too much fun to notice and find out. Ooh, look, Kyle, with an update on our fantasy NASCAR website. It's not up yet. Good note there, Kyle. We will be doing fantasy NASCAR again this year. Lonnie Sand, WFO, happy belated. And Max out there. He's watching on YouTube for the very first time. Thank you, Max. I'm driving everybody to the YouTube. That's it. YouTube, everybody. Yeah. Everybody YouTube. Do it. And Reinhardt too. Reinhardt's going to have a channel. Everybody's got a channel. We all got YouTube channels now because it's the way it is. And when Reinhardt launches his deal, you're all going to be obligated to go check out Reinhardt's channel. Lonnie, looks good for being just 22. Thank you, Lonnie. I love where your head's at. Three more Sundays, says Rick. WFO Joe, cool the big. Yeah, Garlitz is on tomorrow, Reinhardt. I'm excited.
Right on.
Yeah. Big Daddy, you know, Hall of Fame, International Drag Racing Hall of Fame, Scotty Cannon and others. We're going to reveal who the inductees are. And, you know, maybe some people in the WFO universe want to go to the deal. And so we'll see how it all works out. Here's one, you know, good news, bad news stuff. We are going to have to talk about the protocols for fan admission to Pomona. Not necessarily right here at the beginning. I think it's important to talk about it for fans that need to know, but there are a couple of things I want to get to first. Like I do want to tell the story about going racing and because it was actually a good story for once and Austin Prock and Ron Tobler, Alan, my goodness, but back to the NASCAR test. You said you were going to go out there and learn a bunch of stuff. I wasn't there. What did you learn?
It was interesting. It was very interesting. Went up to Phoenix 2 days. They were up there for a NASCAR test. They did have one day that the public was allowed to come sit in the grandstands, and there was no admission for that. And there was quite a few people that came out and watched. But as far as inside, you know, behind the curtain, so to speak, it was a closed test, and I was able to finagle an invitation. But it was really interesting for me. And speaking with some of the people I know in that world, you know, I think I was there 6 minutes before the first person said, "Reinhardt, you're at the wrong racetrack." Because, you know, there's so much crossover between what we do and what those guys do. But what I told everybody is basically, you know, I'm a student of the game and I'm a car guy. I have a lot of friends that make a living over in the NASCAR world, whether it's, you know, with a team or in the broadcasting side or track management or whatever you want to have. And I've always been a big follower of the sport. You know, I spent a little time in Ray Evernham's engine shop back a lifetime ago, and I felt pretty comfortable with the old car, at least, you know, the basic understanding of how things work and what's going on. And when they would talk about whether they were making adjustments or somebody who'd been penalized or something, I kind of understood where they were coming from. And I didn't know enough about the new car to start an argument. And that's part of why I wanted to go. I wanted to learn some more about the new car and the new platform and what they're working with. And that was fascinating. And the most interesting thing, I think, going to a NASCAR test is a lot like going to an NHRA test. If you know you're going to a test and you know you're not watching them race, you're not watching them qualify, the fastest lap doesn't really necessarily mean anything. They are testing. They're trying to learn things, whether it's new parts, new pieces, new this, new that. And so you're not there to see competition. And of the however many hundred laps those guys went around a racetrack, they're not racing side by side. They're not going three abreast. They're not, that none of that has anything to do with what they're doing. And one of the fascinating things for me was being able to be inside and talk to the teams and the engineers and the guys. One guy told me, he said, yeah, when we get set up in here, I went by on Monday. I drove up to Phoenix on Monday and went by the track then. They didn't actually start running until Tuesday and Wednesday. And the guy said, yeah, when you come in tomorrow, this place is going to look like the laptop 500 because they'd obviously have a driver and a crew chief and, you know, an engine tuner and four or five guys that are working on whatever they're doing with the car. And then they have 50 engineers
wow.
that are all sitting there with their laptops going over this stuff. And the number of times when they would send a guy out and he'd run 20 laps and he'd come back in and they would change the brake pedal ratio. And he'd go run 25 laps and he'd come in and they'd change it back. Or maybe they'd change it some more. Or they would change the steering rack since these cars now have rack and pinion steering, which they've never had before. And so they would change the steering ratio to try to get the driver comfortable. And then they'd come back and then they'd change this and they'd change that. But it was very interesting how the cars work. The fact that they're kind of compartmentalized now and you know, so much of the stuff is plug and play. One of the things that takes some real getting used to for me, and even after 2 days, I was still looking at them with a little bit of surprise, is the amount of rear caster that they run because they've always had the solid rear axle. And you could cheat that a degree or a degree and a half maybe and get away with it for 500 yeah. miles.
Right.
Well, now they have independent rear suspension. So now the rear tires are castered like the front tires are. When you get on a short oval, anybody knows anything about NASCAR, you know, if your tire on your street car sits like this, when you're on an oval, it sits like this. Because when the car goes through the turn, it rocks up on the tire flat. But we're talking major, major caster in the front. And now they're doing the same thing in the back. And watching a car back out of the garage, pull out towards the racetrack, when there's only like the inside 3 inches of the tire touching the ground, it's pretty interesting stuff to me. And the number of adjustments that were being made for teams trying to find out, not even necessarily what's the sweet spot. A lot of times it was like, what's too much? You know, if you went out and you were looking for all out performance, then you understand, okay, we're starting at, you know, it doesn't matter what the number is. Okay, we're starting at 5 inches. And you go out and you make an adjustment and maybe you adjust 5 1/4 or maybe 4 3/4, maybe 5.5, maybe 4.5. But you're making those incremental adjustments because you've got a pretty good starting point. When you've got a brand new car and a brand new platform and nobody's been on a 1 mile racetrack with this thing yet, they've done some testing at Charlotte and they've done some other stuff with it, but nobody's been on a 1 mile racetrack. It's amazing to watch guys go out and go, okay, our baseline is 5 inches. What's our first adjustment? Let's go 1.5 inches. Let's just find out. That's too far. If that's, and so over the 2 days and a lot of laps and a lot of, it was just fascinating. I learned a lot. I got an opportunity to touch base with a number of guys. Some of the guys like Joey Logano and I probably haven't spoken in 4 years. And when I went up and I said, remember me? And he goes, yeah, NHRA, right? And I said, yeah, but remember the bobsled? And he goes, oh, that's right. Okay. And, so it was nice to kind of like reconnect a little bit and make that, you know, and just renew that acquaintance. So it was a really good 2 days. It was really interesting. I'm looking forward to when they come back out west. I think, you know, the Clash coming up this weekend, I think it's going to be an interesting spectacle. I hope it is a tremendous success, but nobody's really going to learn anything, right?
No.
Tell me the next time they're going to be on a 1/4 mile flat track. So you're going to have a chance to win a lot of money. And hopefully everybody's going to go home with a car intact because there's still, you know, nobody's in panic mode with the inventory, but also nobody wants to go out and tear up 2 or 3 cars to start off the season. And then Daytona is obviously Daytona. That's just such an outlier that you're not going to learn anything that's going to help you for the season, but somebody's going to win Daytona. So, you know, for everybody that complains about this and that, somebody is going to win Daytona. And it seems like, and it's just the same thing. I made the comparison a number of years ago when Goodyear came out with a new top fuel tire. And it was like, this is the new tire, period. You're going to have to figure this out.
Right.
And it was different. And a number of guys, you know, some guys, old school mindset, oh, this tire, we'll never figure that out. And some guys went in and went, that's a tire? Okay, let's figure out what it, I mean, because somebody's going to win Pomona and somebody's going to win Gainesville. And we ain't going to win it if we go in with the attitude that this tire won't go down the racetrack. So we got to figure it out. And there was some of that going on in the garage as well. Some of the guys that I talked to that are just kind of like, I know exactly how to fix this on last year's car, but none of that stuff works on this car, versus the guys that had the mindset of, okay, forget everything we used to know. We need to figure out what makes this car work, because this is the only car we've got right now. So it was a very, very interesting 2 days. You know, if you're into on-track competition and side-by-side racing, there was next to none of that. But if you're into the nuts and bolts and being the gearhead part of the thing, which I am, it was very interesting, very fascinating.
No, I'm excited about it. And, you know, so many people think, and I, you know, I worked at NASCAR Radio when it was on XM, and I got to see that world, you know, closer than I do now. And it's awesome and it's amazing. But so many people just are kind of caught in a negative spiral about, oh, they ruined it. It's ruined. So, Alan, is it ruined? Like, did they ruin it with this car? Is this car terrible? Because to me, I'm actually very excited to see the problem solving challenge, right? That's the challenge of problem solving. Who of those highly intelligent, well-resourced teams, which among them will conquer this challenge the best and first? Like, that's what racing is all about. New set of challenges, guys. Go.
Well, I can tell you, strictly from a fan standpoint, you can tell a Ford from a Chevy from a Toyota if they'd never had a decal on the cars.
That's great.
They did a really good job of capturing the personality, both the nose and the tail, that when you see one of these things coming at you, or when you see one of them driving away from there and turn two, you glance at it and you don't need a decal to know it's a Ford or Chevy or Toyota. So that, I think they did very well. I think the fact that the cars are kind of compartmentalized now, and I think that's going to be a good thing in the long run, as far as, you know, money saving for the teams. And again, talked to one of the engineers. I'm not going to mention any team names or anything, but one of the big team engineers that works on brake stuff. And he said, last year we had 12 different brake packages depending on the racetrack. The racetrack, the brake package that you ran at Phoenix, not the same as Martinsville, not the same as Daytona, not the same as the Roval. And the Roval brakes were not the same as, say, the Sears Point brakes or the Watkins Glen brakes. They had a different brake package for every racetrack. Now they have one for every racetrack.
Wow.
So instead of having $1 million worth of brake parts on the shelf, you now have the same brakes that go, and you don't have to worry about, me, as you know, Reinhardt Racing, I don't have to worry about, well, Costello Racing's got a bigger budget, and so they're going to have an advantage because they've got this $250,000 brake package that I can't afford, because you're not allowed to do that anymore. So that, I think, is going to be good. You know, certainly the big teams with a big budget are going to spend money. They're going to do whatever they got to do to win. But I think it's going to be easier on the mid-tier and smaller budget teams, because they don't have to go so far behind anymore. Some of the stuff I've learned in the NASCAR world, and I think it's fascinating. Talking to a guy a couple of years ago, and we're talking about radiators. Now, I don't know how many casual fans understand, you know, the radiator at Daytona is different from the radiator at Martinsville, obviously.
Right.
The cooling on a short track and versus a super speedway, different radiator. But you know what else is different? The angle of the fins, because okay, you can change the angle of the fins in a radiator and pick up 3 or 4 pounds of downforce on the front of the car if you need it. Now, if you have the budget to have 4,000 radiators so that you can make that adjustment, then great. But with one radiator now being mandated, if I don't have the budget, you're not going to have an advantage over me, because you can go buy 1,000 extra radiators that I can't buy. And so I think that's going to be good for the sport in general. I did also hear from a few engineers that concern it, right? Let's say hypothetically that NASCAR mandates this particular Finnegan pin. Everybody has to use this. Okay, what if it fails? We now are not allowed to reinforce it. We're not allowed to build a better one. We're not allowed to re-engineer. So what happens then? And from everything I've seen and heard, the procedures are in place that if this particular part has a high failure rate, the teams will go to NASCAR and go, we need to do something here. We need to fix this. And it will get fixed. But it will get fixed for everybody. It won't get fixed by Costello Racing spending $500,000 and Reinhardt Racing spending $500,000 and Hendrick spending it and Penske spending it and Joe Gibbs spending it, all to come to basically the same conclusion. So it's going to be good overall. I'm really looking forward to when the cars come out west, get the Clash behind us, get Daytona behind us, when we get on racetracks that are a real representation, right? California Speedway, Phoenix, and Las Vegas are going to be races 2, 3, and 4 after Daytona and the points-paying season. And I think at that point, we're going to have a real good handle on what this car is going to be like. The composite body also, you know, a couple of guys brushed the wall and they literally came back and went, okay, send it back out because it gives, it pops back. You know, unlike sheet metal, it would have to be bent back out or after the composite is much more forgiving. So I think that's going to be helpful. But it was a fascinating learning experience for me. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to go do that. And looking forward to seeing those boys on the track.
This has been your NASCAR Minute with Alan Reinhart and Joe Costello, Drag Racers Talk NASCAR. Now, listen, there's a lot of cross-pollination and a lot of interest, them with us and us with them, and they're on the verge of something new, and I'm quite certain the day that we're on the verge of something totally new, like a redesign like that, they would be very interested in what we've got going on. All right, so the big news of the week that I think is the Austin Proc, Ron Tobler, Joe Barlam combination. I love this news. I'm excited. And if I ever questioned NHRA drag racing, it wasn't like, are we doing the right thing? It's like, if a sport like this can't take advantage of a personality like Austin Proc, who is a talented cross-platform driver, who's driven sprint cars, who's had been under the tutelage of Tony Stewart, whose dad and grandfather have been big in drag racing, who's got a larger-than-life wonderful personality, right? He can be cocky. He can be funny. You know, the chicks dig him. There's all these different elements. And the guy's on the sidelines, you know, working on a crew. That was making me ask the question, like, what's going on, man? Like, is there something that I don't understand, that I don't get? And no, Austin is back out there. He's going to have Joe Barlam, who is a great guy, and Ron Tobler, who is a family friend. Like, people who don't understand the relationship, there's a good article or a video up by John Kernan on NHRA.com that explains that, you know, Jimmy and Tobe, they're like best pals. If they're not best pals, they're like real super inner circle close friends. They hang together. They have a great time. And so Jimmy goes to Tobe like, hey, crew chief for Austin. And like, how do you not? Right. It's almost like a family affair. It's going to be awesome. And by the way, Tobler gets to be the fly-in guy now, the fly-in guy that makes the deal. Let me tell you, I bet being the fly-in guy from California makes it a lot easier to do this gig.
Well, I think that was the big selling point. And I have not spoken to Ron Tobler since the announcement came out. I'm really looking forward to getting to Phoenix next week and talking to all of those guys, you know, face to face. But I think that was really the selling point. You know, all of the years on the road take their toll, no doubt about it. And living in Indy, and Ron had wanted to get someplace with a little bit friendlier climate and to not spend all of that time doing what he was doing. And he's in a position to do that and decided to make that decision. God bless him. Well, then the opportunity comes up where he can be involved with a first-rate team, right? With all the budget you need, all the parts you need, all the stuff, a driver that he absolutely loves, and a deal where he can fly in on Friday and probably fly home Sunday evening, doesn't have to be in the shop every day of the week, doesn't have to be hands-on, doesn't have to be sure that the inventory is taken care of and the crew guys are happy. And all he's doing is coming in and offering his expertise when they're tuning the car. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of guys that have more experience than Ron Tobler out there. You know, Joe Barlam's a guy who's been around a long time. You know, remember, Joe Barlam is a guy that Alan Johnson hired to run a car for him. So anybody that's got that level of respect in the pits is a good guy to have on your side. I also think one of the most interesting aspects of this, and I'm hoping that the open door policy over there still applies, because I don't know how many people realize Thomas Prock came back. And he is going to be working on the team. Now, that's Austin's little brother.
Right. Wasn't he in NASCAR country?
Yes, as an engineer. I mean, Thomas went to school to be an engineer and has been working down in NASCAR for the last couple of years. So I think he is going to be coming in and joining the team with a whole different perspective. And yeah, he's going to be hands-on with the car. I believe he's going to be working on the clutch. He's going to be, but he's also bringing a lot of knowledge and a different perspective that could legitimately help not just his brother's car, but potentially the whole John Force organization.
So exciting. Nikki says that Austin is a great tool to attract more young fans. And I agree.
I was going to say, Nikki called him a tool. I wouldn't call him a tool.
Nicole Clark is calling Austin Prock a tool. Come on, Nikki. What are you doing? What are you doing? No, but I saw Force at PRI, and I'm sure you did also. And you know, he had a little twinkle in his eye. He says, "We're trying to get the Prock kid back out there." And you know, I know people don't like you know, gas prices being high, but there is also like this. We had a lot of energy companies involved in drag racing for many years when gas prices were high because they were making a lot of money. And then when the gas prices went really low, and it's like, well, nobody's using gas, and they're shutting down wells, and they're doing all kinds of stuff, and the oil field services aren't. Things aren't happening out there. Well, everybody said, well, wait. Well, now we're I don't want to say what the right point of equilibrium is, but some of those sponsors are coming back, and that is exciting. And for Austin Prock to be out there with Ron Tobler, this family atmosphere thing going on, very excited. And I can't wait to see how it all works out. And I think they're going to be, you know, are they going to be championship contenders? Alan, just talk about brain power under one, you know, giant tent. Jimmy Prock, David Grubnick, Ron Tobler, like those guys, not mention, you know, Chris Cunningham and all the other elements there, like those guys, different backgrounds, different looks, different thoughts. I think they're going to be able to come together with some great stuff. And what a move for John Force Racing.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. You know, they've got a lot of really smart guys over there. They've got a lot of guys. And again, I think it's going to be, you know, kind of like when we were talking about Justin Ashley's acquisition a couple of weeks ago. It's not like it's going to take 6 months for these guys to get to know each other. They know each other. They're comfortable with each other. They speak the same language. And I think that, you know, the camaraderie is going to be there from the first warm-up when we get to Phoenix. So I don't think there's going to be any big adjustment period or growing pains. And, yeah, I certainly think that, you know, Austin is going to be a championship-contending car. Somebody's still going to have to show me that they can beat Steve Torrence on a regular basis before I'm ready to, you know, move the crown off of his head. But I think this is going to be one more serious player in the mix. You know, kid that obviously can drive, his reaction time speak for themselves, and he's going to have a car that should be able to perform on par with anybody.
Yeah, getting there because of talent. Amazing stuff. Here's a tough one, right? Like, can you list all of these? Where was Joe Barlam before this? All right, he's been at Force for a while. Yes. All of them. Everywhere. Where was Joe Barlam before this? Yes. That's a good answer. Joe's been around.
He spent some time with Bob Vandegrift's team. Yes. As I said, you know, Alan Johnson spent some time there. He's been hands-on in a lot of different situations, but I think that he's in a really good situation now where, again, got the budget, got the machine shop. And there's a lot to be said for that. For guys that have ideas, it's one thing for them to come work for, you know, Joe and Alan Racing. And it's like, hey, do you think maybe we could make one of these? Well, we're going to have to find somebody to make it for us, but maybe. Whereas at Forces, hey, I got an idea. You know, you walk over to the machine shop and go, can you make me one of these? And I say, yeah, we'll have for you tomorrow. And so I think that that's another thing that plays into the decision. But, you know, Joe's, like I said, been around a long time. Sharp guy, and just another player. You know, you look at Top Fuel last year, we didn't lose anybody, okay? There were a couple of guys that changed situations. You know, Antron changed the situation. Leah changed her situation. We didn't lose anybody. We added Tony Schumacher full-time.
Yep.
We added Josh Hart full-time. Yes, he was out there last year, but not full-time. I understand Doug Foley is looking to put together the pieces to come out and run full-time. You know, Tony, Austin, it's going to be just a really, really jam-packed up fuel field.
We're going to lose some Billy Torrance, is from what I understand. But
yes.
But that's what they say. Like, once the season gets going, and who knows what Billy will do, and they've got the flexibility at Capco to turn on a dime. If Billy's not feeling great, not running these things, or he sees something happen, like, Billy can change his mind. It's not because they're self-funded, right? They're sending the team out there anyway. It's just, how are they going to do it? But that'll all settle out, you know, with personnel changes and all of that. But no, super excited about what we got going on there. Hey, if you guys got a question about the upcoming season, send it, put it in the chat section. Jim Hughes says 2022 is gearing up to be the best year of NHRA. The glory days are now. I feel that way, Jim. I do. I feel like we're on the precipice of something great, something big, something exciting, something you're going to want to go see. You're going to want to be a part of. You're going to want to watch. You're going to want to say you were there when this new era of NHRA drag racing begins. And that's the way I'm feeling it, right? Like, it's a new era. So much change. The Antron, the Ron Capps, the Leah, the Tony Stewart, like all of that going on. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know that I would use the term new era. I think it's kind of a continuation of where we've been going the last 4 or 5 years. And I think it's all good. I have, you know, one of my mantras has always been that the good old days start tomorrow. I never want to be sitting someplace going, you know, yeah, 20 years ago was better than it's ever going to be again. And, you know, it'll never be like it used to be.
Right.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm going to find something else to do, because I don't ever want to go to an event thinking to myself, well, this is going to be worse than it was 20 years ago. I love going to an event thinking this is going to be the next chapter in the history that continues to be written. And, you know, every year, you and I have had a conversation a number of times, you know, on Sunday night after the event's over. Holy crap. You know, did you think it would be any better than the event we had last year? And yet here we are. And I think we're going to see even more of that going forward.
All right. Let's make some people angry out there. I hate to do it, but it's just the way it is. They've announced the protocols for the Lucas Oil Winter Nationals. And so, you know, not to get into the whole, like, well, I think we've had a good run of not talking about pandemic specific stuff, but it has popped up now. And this is, I think, important to inform fans who want to go to the race what they are going to be asked to do and required by the state of California. And it is what it is, right? Like, they have made this decision and you can choose to comply or not comply. I am definitely going to comply. I want to go. I want to work. I want to see. You're going to have to wear a mask inside and outside all times. This is available at NHRA.com, and I highly recommend everybody go and read it for themselves. But face masks, all people age 2 and over must wear a face mask at all times, regardless of vax status, indoors, outdoors, except while actively eating or drinking. Proof of vaccination or negative viral test. Attendees 5 and over must show proof of vaccination or negative COVID test prior to being admitted to the event, including spectator ticket holders, suite holders, and guest credentials. Acceptable proof of vaccination, a photo ID of the attendee 18 and over, and vaccination card, or photo of vaccination card as a separate document, or photo of the attendee's vaccine card stored on a phone or electronic device, or documentation of the attendee's full vaccination against COVID-19 from a healthcare provider, acceptable proof of pre-entry negative viral test, photo ID and the age, et cetera, and so on. And this is all on NHRA.com. Rapid testing will be available on location for those attendees who have not had the opportunity for the test. And you can go on to NHRA.com and find out more information. And yes, I know there's a hurdle now. Whereas pre-pandemic, there was no hurdle. Now there's a little bit of a hurdle. And I like drag racing enough to take a picture of my vax status and show it to them when I go walking through the gate. And I like drag racing enough to wear a mask out there to do what is asked of me at that moment. But I know that there are going to be some that are infuriated by this. There's a lot of angry people out there in the world. I'm not one of them. So that's what you're going to have to do.
Well, you know, it's a California and an LA County ordinance. Okay. For the people, and you know, I've seen a few online, I'm sure you have as well. You know, I can't believe NHRA is doing this.
Yeah.
It's right. Not NHRA, gang. No. It is LA County and the state of California that are saying this is what must be done. And if those are the rules and that allows us to race, that's fine. Let's go race. We'll deal with the rules. At this point, we've been dealing with it for 2.5 years anyway. You know what? Let's just deal with it and let's get the racing season started. I'd much rather focus on the positive than the negative. If they tell me those are the rules in order to go to work, if those are the rules in order to make the race happen, okay, I'll deal with it, because I would much rather do that than not race or postpone the race or just not go to the race on general principle. And I'm not telling anybody what they should or shouldn't do. You can make your own decision. But if they tell me this is what's required in order to make it happen, okay, I'll deal with it.
Yeah, simple as that. And, you know, I have a lot of, we talked about it, got a little serious on our Ignition show last night, because the people that are guest hosts on the show, like, we all had something in common, which was right at this moment, as much as we feel like we're getting to the finish line on this deal with, you know, Omicron coming down and everything, we all know of a lot of personal friends, people that we are in direct contact with, who are fighting it and challenged by it and near death. They made a big deal at Palm Beach International Raceway about a racer who I spoke with. His name is Ken at PBIR. He's a wonderful man. He's a great racer. He's worked and volunteered at the track for 20 years in some capacity. And he's got COVID. He's on event. And he's fighting while everybody else is kind of like, yeah, it's over. Oh, man, it's over. It's not over for some people for reasons unknown to all of us. Like, is it your DNA? Is it just bad luck? We don't know. None of that matters. But it's still a serious time. So taking some precautions, I'm okay with it, as opposed to the alternative, like you just said, not having the race or having an extremely limited capacity. I don't know, man. I think people in California more might come to the race because they know safety precautions are in play, as opposed to the conventional thinking that people have that people wouldn't go. I know a lot of people that want to be as safe as they can be for the time being. That's their call. I want to be safe as I can be in the meantime. And I think this is, you know, it's a minimal step, big deal. You got to show a vax card or get a test, not both. You can just get a test. So basically you're saying, no, I want the right to have COVID and go walk around the race without a mask and spread it around. That's what I want the right to do if you don't follow along, or you don't want to be bothered with anything. And if that's your deal, then I accept that. That's fine. That's what TV's for.
Well, I've kind of felt since the beginning, and, you know, I've spoken to guys that say, well, you know, the odds are, okay, fine. If that's the way you want to go. From the people I know personally who have had a bout with this, some people like sneezed twice and had a fever for a day and a half and it passed. Some people ended up in the hospital for weeks before it passed. And for some people, it didn't. You know, it was the end. And I don't want to find out which one I am. So if that means that I've got to take some precautions, and hopefully that will keep me from finding out, I'm willing to take the precautions. And if somebody else doesn't want to, that's entirely up to them. You know, I have a friend here in town that on a pretty regular basis will shoot a text out and go, hey, we're having a big party for the game this week. We're going to have food and beer and stuff, and there's going to be 100 people in the pool. I go, okay, I'm not coming. And if you feel comfortable doing that, that's wonderful. I'm not telling you not to. I'm just telling you I am worried about me. And I know what risks I'm willing to take and what risks I'm not willing to take. And in this particular case, if I have to show a negative test or show a vax card or and wear a mask to go to the races, I'm willing to do that. And I will do what I've always done, kind of, you know, keep my distance from people whenever possible and worry about myself. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not telling anybody else what to do. I just know what I'm going to deal with. And I've got my own protocols that I'm following.
That's it. And that's it. And you know, people ask your doctor, man, like, what does your doctor say? No, I'm not asking my doctor because I know what he's going to tell me. And I think I know what he's going to tell. And that's it. I'll wear my mask. I'll be out there. I'll show whatever it is. And I'm going to be experiencing NHRA drag racing, baby, in California, Southern California, the birthplace of the whole deal. Blake from Wyoming, who I believe is going, wants to know, what are you more excited? What are you most excited about for 2022 drag racing?
Having some income.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. This guy and I are on the same path. Exactly.
As an independent contractor, you know, January and February have a tendency to be a little dry for me, December, January, and February. No, I'm really excited to get back out there. I'm sorry, my phone.
It's buzzing.
But at least it was on vibrate, not going crazy. I'm looking forward to getting back out there. I'm looking forward to seeing, and I think we're going to have to be Houston or Vegas, maybe, before we really get a feel for all of these changes and all of these new teams and who is having some growing pains and who is going to be able to just out there and start hitting home runs right off the bat. But I'm looking forward to that. I think that, you know, getting back into the elite versus KB versus everybody else pro stock battle, I'm really looking forward to. I'm looking forward to getting back out there with the pro stock motorcycles. The Harley guys now will have chassis that I think they're going to be more comfortable. I'm sorry. The Vance and Hines Buell guys will now have chassis that they're more comfortable with. You know, Matt working on the four-valve Suzuki stuff, I think, is going to be interesting. So there's a lot to be excited about out there right now. And I'm just kind of waiting to see you know, what's going to be the lead storyline once we get started. But I'm just looking forward to getting back to work.
Did you happen to see our interview with Camry Caruso or any of the interviews with Camry? I was very impressed. I mean, I know her from previously, but I was very impressed with the young lady and the team that they have assembled and the equipment that they have. They basically have Laughlin's car. They've got Tanner Gray's engines, the people who built them, and they got Jim Yates tuning and Camry driving. And she's won races in a fuel. She has already had success. You know, I don't expect her to win the Winter Nationals, but and the way she was handling it, right? Like it didn't seem like it was over her head. She's ready to get in there and inject herself into this mix. That was exciting to me.
I think the one thing that she's really got going for a couple of things. One, her attitude going in, I think, is very positive, very strong. And I think that that's a big asset. The other thing is that she's driven the A fuel car. Because making the step into a pro stock car from anything else, unless you've driven like an A altered or something, you know, a 6 second short wheelbase machine in comp, there's not really a lot of comparison. But when you've driven something faster than pro stock, it's going to be easier for you in your mind to slow the car down, to bring it back in, to keep everything under control. And I think that's going to be a tremendous asset for her. Whereas so many other people that have made the jump to pro stock, even if you come out of a B altered, which has been, you know, kind of the progressive deal over the course of the years, there's still a bit of a learning curve when you get into pro stock, how precise they have to be as far as shifting them, as far as keeping them in the groove. You know, you can't let a pro stock car drift and pull it back. You've got to be on top of the thing the whole time. And I think the fact that she has driven faster machines than that, so that her brain is going to be able to slow the run down right off the bat, is going to be a tremendous asset. You know, working with Jim Yates, great teacher, a lot of experience. I think that's a tremendous asset. I think that the question mark, and it's not like, gee, I'm really worried about this, but I want to see it, is whether or not they have the horsepower. Because Tanner Gray's stuff obviously was great, but there were a couple of years that they were not running pro stock, that they were not out there on top of the development with some of the other teams. So I think that, and again, I'm certainly not thinking that they're coming in 100 horsepower, 150 horsepower down. I'm just saying you're going to have to show that to me, and then I'll cross that off the list.
Right. Well, exactly. And I think that's great, though, right? Like, this was cutting edge level horsepower when it won the championship. And I had heard rumors about, you know, connecting rods made of alien bones that were recovered from Area 51, like crazy stuff going on in those engines. Right. And now
they have a minimum weight, so it doesn't matter.
There you go. Time has gone by, though, and like all the development that happened at KB and Elite over the past couple of years, where's that stuff going to stack up? But that's exciting. And, you know, Jim, who last week I said on the show that it was like a grievous error, because Jim Yates and I have been talking about having him on the show for years, and it just hasn't happened. I'd like to have Joe Barlam on, too. Just a great guy. But Jim reached out to me. He's like, man, let's talk pro stock one day. So we got to get Jim on here to talk about it. But that's, to me, that's exciting, right? Like, where are they going to stack up? And they also confirmed a second car at some point during the season. So way to go, Caruso family. Pretty exciting. And just top to bottom, right? We were just here and we crowned champions and we saw how it all played out. But now the slate is clean and we're going again. Looked at the entry list. There's 12 top fuelers. It's an incomplete entry list right now. And I understand why. You know, Torrance isn't on the entry list just yet. And those guys probably going to get in late or who knows, right? The Torrance is, who knows what they're going to do. But I don't know. I think everyone's going to want to be a part of what's about to happen.
I think so too. And, you know, the fact that we're going to Pomona for the Winter Nationals in February is a beautiful thing. You know, remember last year we ran the Winter Nationals in July, not quite as beautiful. So, you know, let's get the season kicked off. Looking forward to going back to Arizona, and it's going to be the week after. So, you know, when the teams come out here next week for testing, which will be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Saturday open to the public. If you have an Arizona Nationals ticket, then you can buy a ticket to come, to the test on Saturday. And then we go straight to Pomona and straight back to Phoenix. So that's going to be 3 weeks back-to-back, cars on the racetrack, things to talk about. And by then, we'll at least have a taste of what we've got going on for the season. But I think, as I said before, I think we need to have a couple of races after that before we really have a handle on, okay, who is a contender right out of the box and who's still got some work to do.
Totally agree. 100%. Very exciting. All right. So this past weekend, I got to go bracket racing myself in the 2005 GTO. My dad bought this car a couple of years back when the GTO returned. My dad's first real car that he bought new and loved was a GTO. And then he had a second. He had a 68 Ram Air GTO. And then we got our 78 Pontiac Trans Am that we still have. And there's a bunch of stories in there about, you know, selling the GTO. Here's the deal. Dad had a 66, sold it for a Ram Air 68 with the Endura bumper and was loving life and then realized, man, I need to earn a living. Sold the GTO and bought a dump truck and started his construction business. And I grew up with the dump truck. I only heard rumors about the GTO, right? So when the GTO came back, my dad, much later in life, we went and got him one as like a completing the circle. Right. Started with a GTO and, you know, going to end with a GTO. Now, this is the Australian Holden GTO, but LS2. Go up to the Palm Beach racetrack. Alan, it was cold. It was like 45 degrees. And I knew, man, I got a shot. Best it had ever been was 1307. And regardless of the bracket racing stuff, I got a chance at a 12 second ET slip here. And that's a big deal. Anytime you can, as you know. People, a lot of my friends don't understand that, like civilians who aren't drag racers. Like, what's the big difference between, you know, 1390 and 1400? Who cares? It's like, what are you talking about? Shut your mouth. That it matters. Right off the trailer, Alan, 1286, 107 and a half. So I was like, bang, got a 12 second car now. That's practically 11th. And went racing.
Well, the new shoes helped a little too, right?
Everything helped. The new shoes helped. Finally got those. Got them installed on Friday morning with minimal collateral damage. Some wheel centers, they'll be replaced soon. But it was great. Car was hooking up, getting down the racetrack. Got one time run. Was 030-something red. First round, 033. Better light, won the race. The guy buys back. I had to run him again. And you know that's terrible because if he eliminates me, then I'm annoyed, right? Like I beat him. There's no repercussion. He beats me. I have to go home. Annoying. Let's watch the race. Let's watch the race and called by Keith Howard. Here's real quick.
Yeah. He's been a long time racer now. job, Joe. Good job, Joe.
The wind light is on. Now, I did a bad job of red lighting right there, Alan. Trip zip against the guy. I got up on it because, you know, he was coming after me. I went trip zip, went down there, wheeled him out, took like, I think I took 40 or 60 at that point because I knew I had him covered and won the round. And to me, that was big. So I went 033. I went trip zip, took 2 pounds of pressure out of the tires, came back next round against a Tesla, right? You remember the history with the Tesla, with the baby sleeping back. He's dialed 1150. You know, it's cold, it's hot, it's storming, it's raining. They're dialed exactly the same thing. They get no benefit from the cold. And I went up to the starting line. I thought to myself, I said, man, you know, and I kicked all that out of my mind. And I remember the time Peter Biondo was on this show, WFO, and it's in the archive, guys. And he's like, race without fear, race without fear. And I was like, heck yeah, race without fear. I'm going after it. I took 2 pounds out. I'm going to hit it exactly the same. 013, crushed the Tesla. So now I won 3 consecutive rounds for the first time in probably a decade, Alan. It's a long time. Okay. Come back and like several hours went by. Now I've been at the track that like the 10 and a half hours, right? To get 4 rounds in. And I got squashed. The guy was 009 dead on 8 and sent me home. But I had a good day. I had a fun time.
Yeah. So what were you on that final run?
80. I was 80.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I missed it. I was 80. But at least, like, my worst to best, like, the grouping was within a tolerance that I find reasonable.
Except for the 80 part. Yeah.
Well, I didn't have a reaction time that started with 1. Are you kidding me? I've been having some of those. To not have any reaction time that started with 1 at all made me feel a little better.
That's had terrible. It sounds like the guy that put you out was pretty pathetic. If he had a 17,000 package and you had an 80 light, did you get him a conductor's hat?
No, because he was chasing me and it had gotten so cold that I had kind of slowed down to like 90s, low 90s, 94, 93. And then it went back to an 83. Like I was on low ET. So I was way out there and I actually closed it up to 17 thou, but I still broke out by like 800, the difference in the reaction times. And so,
okay,
yeah, he just did his thing and I backed into him. 17 thou, by the way. I was super excited about that on an 1150 car. I did some things that made me feel like, oh yeah, I remember I can do this sort of, you know, the rust was coming off a little bit. Next race.
When do you get to do it again?
March 5th. We have no action of that. Okay, so here's the deal. Palm Beach International Raceway news update, guys. Everybody's telling me, like, you know, there's rumors. As you know, Alan, there's always rumors. I went to as many really good quality sources that say, April, it's over. April, it's over. No Prep Kings at Palm Beach is going to be the final race at Palm Beach, and they're going to lock the gates, and that's going to be it. There are 2 points races in March. March 5th and I think March 29th. Is going to be the last points race of the season. And I can do both of those. We're not obligated with the NHRA. And I honestly think, Alan, I don't know, man. I just got 60 points. Could I end up in the top 10 in points in the final season of PBIR in the shortened season, only running 3 out of the 4 races? I don't know. We'll see.
Well, if they give you the Christmas tree for being top 10, then you can add that to your collection. I'm just trying to look at my door's open over here, but I'm looking at my calendar. The 5th of March is the Baby Gators, I think.
Yes.
And it looks like the 29th is a free weekend. That's the weekend before Vegas, right?
Yes. Right. Okay. It is against the Baby Gators. And since you do the Baby Gators, I don't have to worry about that. And, you know, I'll get another chance. And I just feel like, and this is what we were talking about with Flying Ryan, and anybody that is in our audience whose track is not closing in a month or two, you got to try this. In your streetcar, it is fun. You learn. You go through this process of learning and refining and figuring out things. And that by itself is worth the entertainment value. But gosh forbid you turn on 2 or 3 wind lights in a row. I still got adrenaline going. I'm super excited about it. I feel good about myself and my life for the first time in ages.
Well, plus you're supporting your local racetrack. And if you want to keep your local racetrack, supporting your local racetrack will go a long ways towards helping that happen. So good. I'm glad you had a good weekend. I'm glad you're getting back in a groove. I'm sorry. There's going to be a month before you get to try it again, but.
Yeah. Can you believe that? Yeah. Right. Well, but Alan, like, you know, not to complain, but I'm going to complain a little bit. Gates opened at 8 a.m. Time run started at 10 a.m. my first ET shot in Sportsman was at noon. And then it was basically 2.5 hours between runs. And I was finally eliminated at 6:49 p.m. And that was just at the quarterfinals, right? Made the ladder quarterfinals. So to win the race, you basically there for 12 hours in a bracket race. Like, I'm sorry. That's one of the reasons. Like, you can't expect that of people to be locked in for 12 hours. You know, like, it's just a sad thing. Not to complain, but.
Was there like a billion cars there, or what was it?
No, there wasn't a billion cars. There was a minor glitch. They had to reset the system. It's just a slow program. I don't know. They had, you know, they did run Quick 16, Door Slammer, and Dragster, and they had double entries, cars running in Super Pro and Pro. And, you know, there were some reasons that it was a little slower, but that's just not, it's got to be faster than that. I lost my edge, man. I lost my edge. Hour 10. I lost the edge and started thinking I was a little cold. It was 45 degrees that whole time, by the way. I did have a cool jacket.
Yeah, that's when you go suck down a Monster Energy and, you know, support Brittany and, exactly. And get amped back up so you don't have an 80 light.
Right. Well, that's what I should have done. I should have gotten amped back up. But, oh, well, it was good. And people out there with different comments, love Florida. Any final thoughts, Alan? Is there anything that we did not cover? I mean, there's some announcements, Coletta Motorsports and CMR Construction and Roofing. We did a great interview with them out there in Vegas. They're coming on like all the cars in 2022. Great job by Coletta Motorsports. NHRA has got some stories, you know, Toyota Gazoo Racing, like TRD is no more in NHRA. It's not TRD anymore. It's Toyota Gazoo Racing, which is kind of their worldwide racing, drifting, all kinds of stuff. Toyota product, which is interesting. High performance. More stories, more news rolling out. We're not there yet. Like the whole Caps thing, right? Like what kind of car is Caps going to have? People, inquiring minds want to know. We just got to wait.
Yeah, there's still going to be some news coming out between now and when we get to Pomona. Some of the questions will be answered next week when the guys get to Phoenix for the test. Some of it won't. You know, the one thing that I'd like to do before we get out of here, I want to send best wishes to Gary Stennett, who's dealing with some health issues right now.
Likewise.
Really good guy, really good racer. And just want to let him know that we're pulling for him. Got our fingers crossed and look forward to seeing him back at the racetrack soon.
Absolutely, Gary. One of my favorite people, because he is not content to allow the people around him to not have information, right? Like you go talk to Gary and that he's telling me, like early on in my career here, he was educating me to bring me up to speed on detail in dot 90 racing. He knew that I had a bracket racing background, but let me expand your knowledge, Joe. And he didn't have to do that. There was no obligation to do that. He did it, and it has made me more knowledgeable and a better announcer. And thanks to Gary for that. You know, fight hard. All right, Alan.
That's it. Other than that, looking forward to another beautiful week here. It's supposed to cool off the next couple of days, but then the long-range forecast, I think, looks like the Phoenix test is going to be good weather. If they give us the same weather for our test as we had last week for the NASCAR test, that'll be happy days in Phoenix, and let's get back on track.
Absolutely. Alan, great job Tuesday next week, and then I'll be seeing you on Thursday, as I'll see you at the test. Can't wait.
Are you flying on Thursday?
Flying on Thursday, yeah. It's going to be a crazy bonsai run. Right. Get ahead of those segments. That's the real story. Get ahead of the segments.
I get it. I get it. Well, I look forward to talking to you next Tuesday, if not before.
All right, Alan. Great job. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe. Talk soon.
There goes voice of the NHRA. Alan Reinhart joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. Let's get some comments in the comment section, baby. Let's do it. And yes, thank you all for your birthday wishes. So nice. As, you know, like birthdays, what's the point? But my friends did a great job making me feel loved and appreciated. But you guys, the WFO universe, people reaching out, texting and sending me messages and just all kinds of stuff like, wow, there's people out there that that care. It's my birthday. Thank you for that. And it was great. And I did not have cake and I did not have anything. I had one beverage because it was my birthday. But, you know, my whole health and fitness thing is still going on. So it is good. All right, let's see what some of the comments are in the comment section, and then we'll talk about some final news. Like Nikki points this out, look, the whole protocol thing, it is what it is, right? Nothing is going to stop me from doing what I want to do. I was having a great conversation with a good buddy of mine. Like, you want to know the best way to stymie a person from doing something? put a little bit of paperwork right in front of them, right? Like, you want to prevent somebody from doing something, right? Just put a little paperwork in front of them. Oh my God, paperwork. I don't want to do it. I hate it. And you'll thin it down, right? The people that are ability to do the paperwork, they just won't. Thank you for that, Nikki. And I do have Clear now, so I'm super excited to be able to use it for something. Foley and Farley. Foley and Farley, the new Dr. Seuss matchup. Not quite as bad as McMillican, but bad. What else? I put this up on the screen. I wanted everybody to know and see, like, the YouTube channel is where it's at. You want to see more of Jogo's Bracket Racing? Subscribe, click the bell, be ready. I'm editing it all up as best as I can. My thoughts at the time, ET slips, all of it. Great times were had. Go to YouTube, subscribe, click the bell. And that's where you should be really watching the show. Because if you're in the WFO group, which we put this show everywhere, it's on Twitter, it's in our WFO group, it's on the WFO page, it's on YouTube, it's on Twitch. We have no listeners on Twitch, right? But we do it anyway. It's everywhere, just in case. But really, the place where you should be is YouTube. Jeff says, Jeff Shockey, who is a good friend of the show, Pro Stock is going to be over the top this year with all the new and old racers. I connected with Fernando Quadra. They will be out there. So I'm super excited about that. Mopar Man, make it to the line. Everybody has a chance. I cannot stress to you, the fans of drag racing, enough what a basic night of ET bracket racing will do for your understanding of the fun factor. And it's something that I've always made like a cornerstone of my track announcing. What other sport do you go and watch the pros that the next weekend you can go and enter a race and compete for money or a trophy or something in a very similar way to the way that they do? Not too many. Like softball, you got to join a league and you're out there and you got to join a team and you're having practices, right? Bowling league, I guess. You could watch bowling. You could go compete and you're bowling and you're testing your mettle against other bowlers. But you're not driving a car. I was going 107 and a half in that GTO, man. 1285 with a one when I broke out, taking 17 thou against the guy who's nearly perfect. Scott. Save the alien talk for Big Daddy. Yeah, that's Big Daddy Don Garlitz is tomorrow. 11 a.m., guys. 11 a.m. What time is Garlitz on tomorrow? 11 a.m. If you want to never miss a show, get the WFO Radio app. It is free. You can get it on our website, WFOradio.com. And I've been tweeting out the link to the live shows on YouTube. So you can actually watch the live shows when you get the push notification from the app, which is pretty cool. Tony says, Pro Stock and Pro Mod will both be lit up. Top Fuel has some very capable teams across the board. I'm a little concerned about ProMod, honestly. I was having this conversation on the Ignition podcast, which was great. You know, what's up with ProMod, right? Like all the other categories seem to be ascending, and ProMod seems to be, I don't know. And I have my theories. Like, I think what we've seen, right? Like Stevie Fast and ProLine, like the cream has risen, and the cream is at the top. And when you look in the mirror, and you wake up in the morning, and you look in the mirror, and you say, does my operation have what it takes to beat ProLine and Stevie Fast? And people are, I think, are answering that question. Or do I just want to go out and have fun? Like, I think people are asking that question of themselves. And that's, I think that's part of it. And there's all that whole eighth mile thing. You know, a lot of those cars are set up for eighth mile, and there's just a bunch of stuff. Joe, can you talk about the Street Nationals at Bradenton? They had to call the race because it was too cold. Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Art. That's pretty much what happened. I was on the east coast of the state. They were on the west coast of the state. It was mid-40s. And I think the biggest problem, at least from my perspective, was we had some severe wind gusts, like 30-mile-per-hour wind gusts out of nowhere. It was very cold, and it was very windy. And they had tremendous struggles at Palm Beach keeping heat in the track. And under bright, beautiful sun. And the videos that I saw out of Bradenton, they did not have bright, beautiful sun. Safety first. From what I saw already, they tore up a couple of cars. And so it is a bummer. There were so many cars there. I don't know what the racers on site thought about the call, but it is my opinion that, you know, when you're at a track like that and they make the call, that's the last thing they want to do. It's probably was necessary if a promoter at a track like that, that is known for running and gunning, right? Bradenton is like the hottest track in Florida right now. Why would they cancel something? Because they had no choice. Ralph says 30 days till the March meet. Yes, the March meet. Can't wait to see if Caps, what Caps done. Let's see. Put the snow on Mr. Baldy. Let the drag racing begin. Yeah. Cool GTO story, Joe. Thank you very much. Love the GTO. Thanks to Chris once again for helping me with the window. 45 cold, LOL. In Florida, it is cold. And if you come live here for X amount of years, you'll feel that way too. Happy birthday, Joe, 1320 ET. Thank you very much, Jeff. Unfortunately, I won't be able to continue my pro stock journey until this fall. So I'm living vicariously through racers competing this season. F cancer, don't know, quit. Yeah, come on, Jeff. I thought you had some good news, man. Keep it going. Fight it.
Fight it.
It's, you know, it's easy for me to cheerlead. It's all that matters. You had a fun day. I did have a fun day, but I totally lost my edge, guys. Like, mental stamina is a huge part of our sport. Mental stamina is a huge part of drag racing. You got to be able to get into this zone. And in the first, second, and third round, I was there and I felt it and I knew it. I was aggressive. I was going for it. I had my spot on the tree. I hit it. 33 trip zip 13. And I can hit that next time I go out too. That's why I'm ready. But I thought I was going to be home by 6:30. I'm here. I got friends. They're wondering, like, what are we doing for your birthday? I'm freezing. Like, I lost my edge. I lost it. I lost the edge. Went out there, go 84. And that was that. I love Florida. Yeah, I love Florida too. But no one else is allowed to move to Florida, guys. Stay where you are. Love the racing in Florida. Weather not so much. NorCal coast temps suit me fine. Well, that's good. You stay over there. Go for Joe. And when you guys wonder why we racer get yanked up about racing in general, and listen, good for you, Joe. Thank you very much. Well, and that's why. That's all a feedback loop, right, Earl? Who races and is running, you know, a fuel dragster and body man, does great stuff. Very nice friend of the show. Our greatest challenge, right? Tom Brady is retiring, right? Our greatest challenge. Like, do we know what it feels like to be Tom Brady? Man, I've thrown some great touchdown passes in the street. And I went back and I threw it over the top. My friend ran under it and caught it. And it was a touchdown. We scored a touchdown. He scored a touchdown. And it was like, it was the Super Bowl for us. And we got this amazing feeling. Drag racing is very different. You watch John Force go down the racetrack. You watch Greg Anderson go down the racetrack. But have you gone down the racetrack? Have you turned on a wind light? Do you know what it feels like to see that wind light come on in your lane because of something you did or didn't do, or because of a mistake the other guy did or didn't do? You can do it. You just got to do it. Well, my car's too slow. I got friends, a 6-cylinder Charger, the king. Wait till I get the 8-cylinder version. See, bad attitude. Bad attitude. That's not what it's about. Yeah, I'll go racing when I can afford to go pro stock racing. But until then, I'm not going racing because the experience isn't worth having unless I'm doing it exactly the optimal way that I dream of in pro stock. Right? Wrong. The station wagon with the wood panels, your Toyota Camry, your pickup truck, your van, as long as it's safe and it'll go through tech. That's how you learn. That's how you experience. That's where the fun is. Going rounds will do that. Yes. Six folks should not go around kissing folks. Just saying. I agree with that. Oh, come on. It's been hurry up and wait. Just kick back and enjoy the bench racing. Yeah, no, not like this, man. And I'm not blaming anybody at the track. Like, the track guys are doing great, but it's a pace. I think everybody, like, if this track was going to be there, I think that the best way to do it would be to talk to the racers and everybody at the start of the race. Say, we're going to run a little faster. Everybody needs to go faster because 12 hours to run 6 rounds is just too slow. And it's a turnoff to people. Like, it's got to go faster. And I think it has something to do with NHRA too. Like, nobody runs faster than NHRA. We have a schedule. and we keep it. By the way, Joe, great show on that gorgeous 55 Chevrolet you did, Attention in the Pits video. Thank you, Mopar Man. That was amazing. Gary Roost, was it? One of my favorite cars in all of NHRA drag racing, the 55 Bel Air Super Street car, all steel. Gary Roost, total OCD patient. This guy has got everything chromed and polished and every trick bell whistle that you can have to make it cooler. He's got it. Go watch it on NHRA's YouTube channel. Thank you very much for all you do, Alan and Joe. Thank you, Mopar Man. Derek Capps posted a video, and it's an SRT. Good. Good day, folks. Looking forward to Big Garlits tomorrow, 11 a.m. Guys, what time's Garlits on, guys? What time? Oh, Jerron. Sorry I missed your birthday. Happy late birthday, Joe. Yeah, it's so hollow, Jerron. So hollow. You know? So hollow. Great show, guys. Let's get the season started. Thank you, JP. Appreciate you. Can't wait for the snacks at Norwalk, man. Honestly, JP, I don't think you realize, like this guy, when I'm at Norwalk, I survive on the snacks you bring and ice cream. And that's it. That's like what I eat. And so, you know, may I make keep the healthy alternatives in there going. This guy's bringing bananas and he's bringing like, and I'm eating whatever is reasonably healthy and some bad stuff too. Thank you, JP. I hate clear people cutting in front of me in pre-check. Ha, that's going to be me, Jerron. I got clear now, except it's not anywhere that I go. But there's going to be a time when there's going to be a big line and I'm going to be able to use it. I love how stoked you still are. Absolutely, Jim. It was a great time. Wait till you see the video. Change Pro Mod to Eighth Mile. Had that discussion a little bit on Ignition. Had that discussion. I don't know. How will people react? Whatever's better for the class. You know, we're running top fuel to 1,000 foot. We're running Pro Stock to 1320. We're running Pro Mod to the Eighth. I guess. Look, Craig Sullivan has got this incredible lead sled Merc that is amazing. And what do we got to do to get a car like that out there? Like, that's what we got to do. What do we got to do to get a car like that? And I had a great conversation with him at PRI. And I, you know, I was asking him like, what about, he's like, listen, man, there's so much Eighth Mile racing that I set my car up to run Eighth Mile. And that's what I run. And it's less wear and tear and it's cheaper and it stays together longer. And I get to go as fast as I possibly can. The thing runs 350s in the Eighth. And back to the whole mask thing. Do I prefer Eighth Mile Pro Mod? No. Do I prefer wearing a mask? No. Will I do it to get what I want? Yeah. So if the Pro Mod guys and NHRA came to an agreement and decided that Eighth Mile was the ticket, I would be still going to the races, still enjoying it, making the best of it. Better late than never. Wi-Fi problems. Darn you, Troy, who does our big money bracket race minute. Rick, can you put the link to become a Patreon? I can just tell you to go to WFOradio.com and you will see. And I'm sure our Patreons on there will tell you that they love it. Thank you, Rick, for wanting to do that. Patreon.com/WFO radio. He's right. I should do that. But, I try to keep the Patreon thing more like a secret society than this thing that's open to everybody. If you're approved to be a Patreon, Jeff says, thanks. Met Jeff at PRI. He's great. Hold on there. It snowed when I was in Hollywood. I was there too. 1977. It snowed in Hollywood. Jambalaya J, happy birthday, WFO. Thank you very much, Jambalaya J. But I got to tell you, man, when I stopped doing this no carbs thing, I think I'm going to need a little more of that jambalaya. Just saying. Monday morning racer. Mustang rental cars were cool. Yes. Maybe I should have gone off the bottom against Flying Ryan, right? Maybe I put myself at a disadvantage against a Pro Tree racer. No, you know what I was thinking about? Last time I hung out with Monday morning racer, it was at Joe versus Pro at Showtime Drag Strip. And I was thinking after, you know, making all these runs in the GOAT, like one time run, man. Like it was not enough. I need 10 runs and I'll be good. I'll be able to go up against anybody, the best of the best. Jeff Shockey, name another sport you can compete on the same playing field as the pros. I can't think of it. Bad News Bears, right? Let them play. Let them play. Preacher brother, I'm right. Yes, you got it. Thank you, JP. Appreciate it. All right, guys, here are the people who make it possible for me to go WFO. These are the people who genuinely make it possible, like Frank and Lana Hawley. They've been sponsors for 10 years, guys. Think about that. 10 years of Joe Costello saying frankhawley.com and compelling people to go on the Dragster Adventure and to spend a little time with Frank. You should do it. You will benefit. It's cheap. It's like a stock, right? Like stock price. Like, well, what is it? And what are the multiples? What are the deals? $399. Oh man. Well, you know, I can go to a movie for 15 bucks. Yeah, I guess you could go to a movie for 15 bucks, but you're not going to get what you get out of this. It's $399. Probably should be more. FrankHawley.com and samtech.edu. Talking about your education for relatively young people. They're approved to train veterans under the GI Bill. If you've got a kid in your life and they're directionless and wayward and they have no idea where they're going to go and they're just kind of floating through life like Donnie and Big Lebowski, go to samtech.edu and, you know, get started on a great education. I haven't run into a Samtech grad who isn't pretty happy about where they're at. Call Brian Massengill. Ask for him by name. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, totalseal.com. If you want to have something fun, listen to the Hidden Horsepower with Dr. Neil Cantor. Do that right now because guy's smart, man. Dude is smart. Tribologist, metalworking lubricants, the reactions, chemicals, him and Lake Speed totally geeking out about tribology. And what is that? TotalSeal.com, Hidden Horsepower. But it's all an exercise in learning about piston rings. And if you're a sportsman racer, if you're a stock eliminator racer, this is an area where you can improve your engine's output. And if you don't believe me on WFO, come to the Trackside Tech Talk in Pomona. We're going to lay it all out. It's going to be great. And then there's my buddy Marvin Rodak, rodakscoffeeandgrills.com. Hot sauces and spice rubs and grills and tools and tips and information. He's located in Fort Worth, Texas, and roasts up just the best coffee. Just the best coffee. And it'll come to your door. And here's the deal. Frank and Lana got a bag, right? And their mail carrier is carrying it around along the route. And they sent me a card saying this. Sorry, Lana. Hopefully that wasn't private. I'm just got to tell the anecdote. This is the Rodak experience I'm telling you about. The letter carrier is walking around with a pound of coffee all day long. And it's driving him nuts because he can smell the amazing aroma. And he told them so. That's what Rodax is all about. You'll love it. You will love it. All right. Final thoughts. Let's see what people have got to say. What is it? JP, listen to it earlier. Austin podcast, Hidden Horsepower. Isn't it, though? Like, I'm the worst part about the whole thing. It's just I'm there like the glue that holds the guests together. If you like learning and you're interested in knowledge, right? There are people who don't like learning and are not interested in knowledge. They might not like it as much. Art, I always go work out after I watch your show, Great Motivation. Thank you, Art. Thanks for saying that. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. The Patreons get Monday Motivation as well. Joe, you must be doing something right to have Big come on your show. He is definitely a legend, the greatest show on YouTube, but that's my own personal opinion. Well, thank you very much. 11 a.m. tomorrow, 11 a.m., Big Daddy Don Garlitz. We're going to talk to Large Father about the inductees for the 2022 International Drag Racing Hall of Fame. And this is just a little tip to everybody out there. You can go. We're going to talk about individual seats. They'd love to sell that thing out. Some big sponsors get some big tables, but there are tables for regular individuals. If you're a WFO listener that is going to be there Thursday night before the Gator Nationals, come on, call Chuck at the museum. Tell him you heard about it on WFO and you want a ticket. It's like a little over $100. Scotty Cannon is going to be inducted, among others. We'll talk about all that tomorrow. Come out and see me in a tux. Garlitz, man, Garlitz. And, you know, we all have to celebrate Big Daddy as much as is possible. The man, he just turned 90, but let's face it, like it, the circle of life, we must enjoy this man as much as we can and pay tribute to the International Drag Racing Hall of Fame. That'll be happening 11 a.m. tomorrow. Appreciate it. Remember, you can get some WFO merch. I already put the link up in the, chat section. People are buying merch, man. Get yourself a coffee mug. Really appreciate all that. And that's it. We're out. That's it. If you've never heard the Ignition show, go check it out right now. All kinds of stuff. Podcasts. Ignition. That's audio only. We talk a lot about Tom Brady. Tom Brady. Wonder if Loans is like upset. I doubt it. Maybe. No, the guy's the GOAT. And you come talking to a Marino guy here, Dan Marino. Now, we all know that Dan Marino would have passed for like 200,000 yards and 5,000 touchdowns in this new modern era where you're not allowed to touch the quarterback or the wide receivers, offensive-centric game. But still, Tom's the GOAT, man. Did lose to the Giants twice. Did lose to the Giants twice. That's a thing. More news will be breaking. Storylines unfolding. NHRA Camping World Drag Racing Series. Lucas Oil Winter Nationals, just a couple of weeks away. People are getting fired up. I know I am. Be heading out to the Arizona Test next week. All kinds of good stuff going on. I want to thank you, the WFO Radio listeners. And remember, you know, those of you who are still on for the last few seconds to hear what I have to say, thank you very much. You are our best and only marketing outreach. I mean, yeah, we do some Facebook ads and we do some Google ads here and there. But this is a word of mouth show. This thing grows because of you, the WFO universe. You tell a drag racing fan friend, you share the mobile app, you show them the YouTube, you bring them on board, and then they listen. That's what we have built for over 10 years. And it's reliable, and it's strong, and it's sound. Because, you know, our listeners are the best. Simple as that. All right, guys, WFO, really appreciate all of you. Remember, tomorrow, 11 a.m. with Big Daddy. Tomorrow, WFO.